Picture a nation where firearms outnumber people, where the debate over gun rights versus public safety has become so polarized that families avoid the topic at holiday dinners. America's relationship with guns stands alone among wealthy nations, not just in scale, but in the intensity of emotion it provokes. With roughly 300 million firearms in civilian hands, the United States faces a paradox. Most citizens support stronger gun regulations, yet these popular measures rarely become law. Why? Because beneath the statistics and policy debates lies something deeper, a clash of identities, values, and visions of what it means to be safe in America. This isn't just about metal and bullets. It's about how we define freedom, responsibility, and the social contract itself. America's 300 million civilian firearms belong to just 22-30% of adults. Among these 63 million owners, super owners with 10-plus guns comprise only 3% of adults, yet control 20% of the arsenal, a concentration mirroring wealth inequality. The demographics reveal sharp divides. Men own guns at 3 times the rate of women. Whites own firearms at significantly higher rates than African Americans or Latinos. Rural residents are twice as likely as urbanites to own guns, and Republicans twice as likely as Democrats, a gap that has widened dramatically since the 1990s. Growing up with guns makes you 3 times more likely to own firearms as an adult. The motivation shift is equally striking. By 2013, 48% cited protection against crime as their primary reason, nearly double the 1990 rate, eclipsing hunting or sport shooting. This surge occurred while crime rates were actually declining nationwide. Perceived threat, not actual danger, drives purchasing decisions. Self-defense became the primary justification for gun ownership after the 2008 Heller decision. The nightmare scenario, a violent intruder threatening your family, feels visceral, but reality diverges sharply. The National Crime Victimization Survey found victims used guns defensively in less than 1% of personal contact crimes and only 3% of home invasions, roughly 31,000 times annually, meaning just 1 in 3,500 gun-owning households uses a firearm defensively each year. Meanwhile, homes with firearms are 5 times more likely to see domestic violence escalate to homicide, and a Harvard study found 4 times as many gun suicides in high ownership states despite identical non-gun suicide rates. Defensive gun use estimates vary wildly, from 50,000 to 2.5 million incidents annually due to methodology differences. Approximately 17 million Americans hold concealed carry permits. While economist John Lott claimed shall-issue laws reduced homicides, a National Academy of Sciences panel judged his findings unreliable. 1 million Americans have died from gunshot wounds in 3 decades, exceeding all U.S. combat deaths in history. In 2017, firearms killed 39,773 people, matching traffic fatalities. Emergency rooms treated 85,000 non-fatal gunshot injuries in 2015, while police recorded over 300,000 gun-involved assaults and robberies. Young men, particularly young Black men, face catastrophically disproportionate risk. Males aged 18 to 34 account for half of all murder victims, with homicide rates 16 times higher for African Americans than non-Hispanic whites. Homicide ranks as the leading cause of death for young African American males, with 89% involving firearms. Why are guns uniquely dangerous? Gun robberies have a case fatality rate 3 times higher than knife robberies and 10 times higher than robberies with other weapons. For serious assaults, gunshot wounds are 12 times more likely to be fatal than knife wounds. Franklin Zimring's research showed fatal and non-fatal attacks often differ only by chance, whether a bullet finds a vital organ, not by the attacker's intent. Firearms dramatically increase suicide risk due to their exceptional lethality. Guns account for half of all completed suicides with an 85% fatality rate, far higher than other methods. Most suicide attempts are impulsive. 24% of near-lethal attempts occurred within 5 minutes of the decision, 70% within 1 hour. When the most lethal method is most accessible, temporary despair becomes permanent tragedy. Nearly all crime guns start as legal purchases before traveling through the gray market, gifts, loans, thefts, and private sales. The average crime gun changes hands 3-4 times, creating nearly impossible to trace trails. Geography matters enormously. The Iron Pipeline along Interstate 95 funnels guns from southern states into northeastern cities. Approximately 60% of Chicago's crime guns originate from Indiana and other states. When Missouri repealed its handgun permit requirement in 2007, crime guns moving directly from dealer to criminal tripled, and firearm homicides increased 25%. Conversely, when Brady Act background checks began in 1994, Chicago crime guns from newly regulated states dropped from 35% to 14%. Theft contributes 300,000 firearms annually. Prison surveys reveal criminals obtain guns informally, 39% from friends or family, 33% from street sources, only 11% from dealers. The Supreme Court's 2008 Heller decision established an individual right to firearm possession. Federal law prohibits ownership by felons, drug users, the mentally ill, and domestic abusers, yet enforcement remains inconsistent. Despite 85 to 90% support for universal background checks, Congress has failed to pass such legislation for decades. The key shift is the partisan divide, a 60-point gap between Democrats and Republicans, exceeding differences by race, gender, geography, or gun ownership. Guns have evolved from a policy issue into an identity marker, with gun ownership becoming one of the strongest predictors of party affiliation. The gun control paradox stems from organizational differences, not passion. While surveys show similar intensity on both sides, gun rights supporters translate it into action more effectively. They're 3-4 times more likely to donate and significantly more likely to contact officials or engage online. The NRA's influence comes from approximately 4 million committed gun owners who attend town halls, contact officials, and vote on gun positions. Gun groups offer multiple incentives: tangible benefits like magazines and discounts, social connections through awards and community, and the powerful sense of defending fundamental American values. Despite political gridlock, evidence shows certain regulations reduce gun crime without disarming law-abiding citizens. The 1934 National Firearms Act suppressed machine gun use through registration and taxation. By 2017, machine guns represented only 4 in 1,000 traced crime guns. Laws banning gun possession for those under domestic violence restraining orders reduced intimate partner homicide by 8%, while the Lautenberg Amendment cut female intimate partner gun murders by 17%. Proven police tactics include Boston's Operation Ceasefire, which warned gangs that any member's gun use would trigger crackdowns on all members, sharply reducing youth homicides. Hotspots policing concentrates resources in high-crime areas with minimal displacement. Red flag laws allow temporary firearm removal from people threatening themselves or others. Connecticut's version prevented approximately one suicide for every 10 orders issued. Smart guns using biometrics fire only for rightful owners, preventing household diversion and theft. Just as drunk driving deaths declined through legal penalties and changing attitudes, gun safety could benefit from similar evolution. Expanding this culture of responsibility, backed by smart regulations keeping guns from those posing clear dangers, offers a path forward. Every day we delay, another 100 Americans die from gunshot wounds.